listening to Arcan, the Christian Arcan Show on WEEI.
As we move into the 8 o'clock hour here, it's the Christian Arcan Show, WEEI, live in our Brighton studios, powered by Verizon. It's nice to have you with us here tonight. If you missed any part of the show, like our conversation with Deuce from Patriots.com, you can always go back and listen to the Christian Arcan Show podcast on Apple, Spotify, wherever it is that you get your podcasts. All right. Again, it's been all football, all Viking funeral here for the first 2 hours. And we will have some more football-related stuff here as we get to our 8 o'clock headlines.
These are the headlines.
So, normally, when we get to headlines, I try to keep politics out of it, but every once in a while, politics and sports come to a head. And that happened today. Actually, no, it happened yesterday. It was reported last night. As the president announced that he is pardoning several former NFL players. Joe Klecko, Nate Newton, Jamal Lewis, Travis Henry, and the late Billy Cannon have all been pardoned. The pardons were announced by White House pardon czar Alice Marie Johnson. Is that a thing? Pardon the pardon czar? Well, the president does the pardons. I didn't know there was a czar for that. Johnson wrote on social media, "As football reminds us, excellence is built on grit, grace, and the courage to rise again. So is our nation." As she thanked the president for his continued commitment to second chances. Johnson said that Dallas Cowboys owner Jerry Jones personally shared the news with Newton, who won 3 Super Bowls with the team. Newton, an offensive lineman, pleaded guilty to a federal drug trafficking charge in 2002. I remember this. After authorities discovered $10,000 in his pickup truck, as well as 175 pounds of marijuana in an accompanying car driven by another man. Newton was a 2-time All-Pro and 6-time Pro Bowler. Do you know how much weed you need to have 175 pounds of it? Do you not, like, just a single pound of weed is a tremendous amount of weed. 175 pounds. That's more than Joe Braverman weighs. Is that more than Joe Braverman
weighs? Oh, definitely.
What do you weigh?
I haven't been to the doctor in a while, but I would say about 150.
150? Okay. Yeah, I got you cleared pretty good there. Not like 100 pounds heavier, but I'm bigger than you. Nate Newton, who was the most guilty drug trafficker there's ever been. I mean, it was 175 pounds of weed in the car. And this was in 2002. This was almost 25 years ago, okay? There were not dispensaries around back then. There was, you know, like, you're getting weed, you're getting it from some guy.
Guy loves weed.
Getting it from Nate Newton, I guess, or someone who knows Nate Newton. Joe Klecko, formerly of the Jets, part of the New York Sack Exchange, pled guilty to perjury in 1993 after lying to a federal grand jury that was investigating insurance fraud. Klecko was inducted into the Hall of Fame in 2023. Jamal Lewis, we all remember, Ravens, Cleveland Browns, pled guilty in a drug case in which he used a cell phone to try and set up a drug deal not long after he was the 5th pick in the 2000 draft. Travis Henry, who I remember having lots and lots of children. Is that right? Was that Travis Henry? I think he was. I think he had a bunch of kids. Also pled guilty to conspiracy to traffic cocaine in 2009, financing a drug ring that moved drug between Colorado and Montana. Well, those big coke scene up in Montana. He was a running back for 3 teams, made a Pro Bowl once, and Danny Cannon played for the Oilers, Raiders, and Chiefs, admitted to counterfeiting in the mid-80s after a series of bad investments and debts left him broke.
Travis Henry, by the way, just before you go, 11 children, 10 different women.
I see. I remember those things. Travis Henry single-handedly rescued one of my fantasy football teams 1 year. I picked him up on the waiver wire. Everyone was trying to get him. I got him. And I think I won the league that year based off of just Travis Henry and his his very explosive running as well as other things. Trump is all about pardoning these ex-athletes. He pardoned Daryl Strawberry a couple years ago, or was that last year? I forget when that was. He's not real. I don't think that there's much of a explanation for this. The White House did not return a request for comment as to why Trump pardoned any of these guys.
There's no strategy. I have no strategy.
I'm putting it out there. I don't mean this as a political statement. I think that Trump just likes football players. I think he just likes football. And I don't think it went any further than that.
I think what's going on with the Patriots, huh?
Someone put a list of football players on his desk and said, hey, can you pardon these guys? And he was like, football player. Yeah, okay, football players. You'll remember Brian Urlacher, whose brother was a politician that got caught up in some gambling ring. Brian Urlacher had a brother. I forget if he was a mayor, what he was, but he was something. And he was in trouble. He was a politician. He was caught up in this gambling ring. And so Brian Urlacher went to the White House. He presented Trump with a 54 jersey, a Bears jersey that said Trump on it, and gave it to him and said, hey, could you maybe help out my brother? And Trump was like, yeah, sure, Brian Urlacher,
great.
It was in
January 2021 also. Casey Urlacher, by the way.
Casey. And what did he do?
He was charges of an illegal gambling ring.
Illegal gambling ring. And was he a politician?
He served as the mayor of Metawah, Illinois since 2013.
Oh, man. Prestigious job like that. Mayor of Metawah? Oof. It must have been a big day in Metawah. And then here comes Trump. Save the day. I think it's just as simple as, like, if you're a football player and you ask Trump for something, he's like, you know, he's like Don Corleone on his daughter's wedding day. He just has to do it. He cannot refuse. Okay. I didn't know that about Klecko. I definitely knew about Nate Newton because that was huge news. I remember that Jamal Lewis got in trouble, but I forgot why. Derrick Henry, I just remembered him with the kids. What did I say? Derrick Henry? Travis Henry, excuse me. Yeah, Travis Henry. And, I definitely remember Nate Newton. I think it's funny that there's been no explanation for why any of this happened. I don't think that there's going to be. I think we all just have to accept the fact that if you're a football player and you commit a crime, if you ask Trump nicely or you ask the pardon czar to ask Trump nicely, he'll pardon you. So, something to know. Something to know going forward. That really only applies to a couple of people here. It applies to Wiggy and Ted, and that's it. If either of those guys ever get in trouble, Trump, just write Trump a letter. He'll pardon you. No problem. You played football? Yeah, that's good. Yeah, you're good. Whatever you did. Who cares? Let's get to our next headline. So this one I thought was interesting. It has nothing to do with any politics, but it does have to do with the NBA, whose All-Star Weekend begins tonight. And we'll get to that in just a minute. But I thought this was a very funny headline, that the NBA has fined the Utah Jazz and the Indiana Pacers a combined $600,000. $500,000 to Utah, $100,000 to Indiana. And the league is saying that both of these teams sat healthy players in recent games, while noting that moves that compromise its integrity will not be tolerated. And you know what's funny about this? Is that they're making an example out of the Utah Jazz and the Indiana Pacers. I don't know if you've taken a good look at the standings lately, but the Indiana Pacers are 15-40. The Utah Jazz are 18-38.
Not great.
If they want to sit their players, who cares? If they want to sit, they're 15-40. Like, what are you talking about? And why are you choosing them to make an example out of? No one cares if some guys. Who even on the Utah Jazz do you want to see? Who's on the Jazz?
They did trade for Jaren Jackson Jr.
Who's not playing? He's injured. He's not going
to
play.
He was playing, and that's what it refers back to. But I understand.
Okay, but he's not playing now. And even if he was, no one's died, falling all over themselves to go watch Triple J in Utah. Come on. No one even really cared that much about him in Memphis, if we're being perfectly honest here. Oh, man, Lauri Markkanen's not playing tonight. Oh, man. No Isaiah Collier tonight. Oh, I'm at the look. I don't even know who's on this team. The Utah Jazz. Danny Ainge is a little Frankenstein monster out there in the Midwest. Ugh. You know, there are teams doing this, good teams, but you're picking on the Jazz and the Pacers? I mean, come on. Haven't they suffered enough? How about you go after the actual teams with real stars on the team? The Pacers, what, Pascal Siakam didn't play? Andrew Nembhard? What do you think? People were really upset about that? Come on. This is going on in the league right now. In the NBA, if they want to be serious about it and make these big declarations, well, the integrity can't be compromised. Well, then pick on a real team then, okay? Adam Silver, overt behavior like that prioritizes draft position over winning, and it undermines the foundation of NBA competition. We will respond accordingly to any further actions that compromise the integrity of our games. Basically, putting it out there that these teams are trying to tank and lose on purpose. Oh, oh no. First time that's ever happened. I mean, my God. It is funny, though, that of all the load management that's going on, all the superstars that are taking nights off here and there, they're going after Lauri Markkanen and Andrew Nembhard and the Pacers and the Jazz. And it's not like it's earth-shattering money. It's $500K and $100K, which, you know, these owners can find in their couch cushions. But I just found that interesting. We're going to get real tough. We're going to get real serious about this. Utah Jazz, you better knock it off. Like, okay, guys, you caught us. Let's get to the next headline. And that would be something that it's just an exercise I kind of want to do here. It's a bit of both of those things. The Rising Stars game is tonight.
Boring.
Kind of, yeah. There's several ex-players who are going to be coaching these various teams. There's four teams in the Castrol Motor Oil Rising Stars game. There's Carmelo Anthony's team. Team Melo is Reed Shepard from the Rockets, Stephen Castle from the Spurs, Dylan Harper, also from the Spurs, Jeremiah Fears and the Pelicans, Donovan Klingon, Trailblazers, Colin Murray-Boyles from the Raptors, Cooper Flagg and Ace Bailey from the Jazz. I can say with certainty that I've seen four of these guys play before. I've seen Harper, I've seen Flagg, I've seen Castle, and I might just be three. Oh, no, I saw that Murray-Boyles kid on the Raptors when the Celtics played him. I don't remember much about what he did, but I did see him. Team T-Mac, Con Knupel, Kalel Ware from the Heat, Trey Johnson, Wizards, Jalen Tyson, Cavs, Cam Spencer, Grizzlies, Zachary Risache from the Atlanta Hawks, Bob Carrington, Wizards, Alex Saar, Wizards, A.J. Mitchell, Thunder. I've seen Risache. I've seen, is it Knupel or Knipple?
It's Knipple.
Knipple. Seen Knipple. Brag. And I think that's it.
Yeah, Knipple had a great game recently, him and Cooper Flagg.
Yeah. Team Vince, VJ Edgecombe, who I remember because he lit up the Celtics on opening night, Derek Queen from the Pelicans, Kyshawn George from the Wizards, Matas Buzelis from the Bulls, who I remember vaguely, Cedric Coward from the Grizzlies, Igor Demem, who we talked about, Igor. Jalen Wells from the Grizzlies, Carter Bryant from the Spurs. There's one Celtic, Ron Harper Jr., is going to be on Team Austin. Austin Rivers is going to be a coach on one of these teams. I say all this just to point out that there's an awful lot of Washington Wizards on this team. Maybe a few too many. Maybe a few too many. A lot of Atlanta Hawks. A lot of Charlotte Hornets. A lot of players on the worst teams in the league. And I think what I'm noticing as I read through this, and I'll admit I don't watch a lot of these guys, is bench guys on a lot of bad teams. So it's not gonna spring to mind immediately. And a lot of these teams have been picking high in the draft now for years. I mean years. And so that's why their rosters are all loaded with these Rising Stars players, and somehow they still haven't managed to make any progress. And I think that sort of goes to show just how far down the line we're getting with the NBA draft and, you know, the international players and the guys coming up through not those the colleges, but through those, you know, semi-pro leagues, the, you know, those institutes and stuff like that. I think that's starting to really take hold here, because once you get a little further back into the draft, unless you happen upon like some diamond in the rough, you're not seeing a lot of those guys. I mean, you're mostly seeing guys who were drafted pretty high by these bad teams. And that's who's populating most of this. As the good teams are trading away a lot of their draft picks are just getting less and less valuable as teams get better and better. And even the bad teams with their draft picks, it's just, you know, you just start stockpiling these young Rising Stars type of players. Now, I'm interested in watching this. I'll see who balls out, who I've not been noticing. As there's a lot of names on here and a lot of guys who I probably couldn't pick out of a lineup if you put them all up there. And speaking of things you can't pick out of a lineup, I believe we are going to have something on the celebrity game later on in the show. So stay tuned for that. All right, finally. And this might be the biggest story in sports. American figure skating sensation Ilya Malinin wilted under pressure. The quad god Friday night bailed out of his quad axle.
What?
And then unraveled. He blew it. 5-point lead separating him from the rest of the field. The 21-year-old was the last skater to take the ice. After several top skaters visibly dealt with nerves and falls of their own, all Malin needed to do was what he had done countless other times. But as he went to strike his opening pose, he was flooded with overwhelming nerves that he could not shake. It's that opening pose, boy. If you can't get your skates under you in the opening pose, it's all going to go downhill from there. Any true figure skater knows that.
You blew it!
Malinin, the two-time reigning world champion, had an unbeaten streak dating back to 2023. Landed a high-scoring opening quad flip jump, but then struggled with the axle jump. There was a successful quad lutz after, but then he doubled what was a planned quad loop. Supposed to be a quad loop, only two. Malinin soon fell on a quad lutz, preventing him from doing the second jump, a triple toe loop of the combination. His final jumping pass was supposed to be a quad sow cow triple axle combination, but instead he fell again. When the program ended, Malinin stood in center ice, shook his head. He appeared to be in near disbelief as he put his arms in the air to salute the crowd. As he skated off, he puffed out his cheeks as if to stop himself from crying. Reading this from ESPN's write-up of it from Darcy Main. Listen, quad god, I know a lot of people are going to be giving you crap here for your poor performance. But I think we haven't seen the last of the quad father here. I think that he is going to make a comeback. He'll bound, but just like Drake May. You know, a couple of young guys, record setters, coming up short when it matters the most. Who has a better comeback, quad god or Drake May? We'll leave that to you to decide. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. We got Joe Braverman here. He'll get you caught up on what's trending. And when we come back, your New England Nightly News, which is going to get political again, as there was some obscene gestures getting thrown around up in New Hampshire in their in the Congress up there. We'll get to that next. Christian Arcan Show here, WEEI. We're live in our Brighton studios, powered by Verizon. It's nice to have you with us here tonight. Just about 8:30. So we will get to the New England Nightly News here in just a moment. A couple of texts I want to read. Texts are up in Maine. Can't wait for next week when you can shut up about the Super Bowl already. Trust me. I'd like to forget that Super Bowl just like I'm sure you would. But let's also remember here that after football season, things quiet down a little bit. It takes a while. You know, like it was a bit of a fever pitch here, I would say, going on with these Patriots. And maybe you're just over it. You know, I get it. I get it if you're over it. But from my perspective, it's pretty good. I mean, that was a pretty good run. Fun to watch your team go to the Super Bowl and fun to watch it happen in a time when no one was expecting it. That's really, I think, what made this so special and made it so much like 2001 is that it really came out of nowhere. The 2000 Patriots won 5 games, and it seemed like Bill Belichick was just going to be the next coach that comes here and then gets fired like Pete Carroll. Didn't seem like there was really going to be much staying power there. And then the next year, we all remember what happened. They win the Super Bowl, and then for the next 20 years, you just expected that they were going to at least compete for a Super Bowl almost every single year, and they did almost every single year. They got knocked out before the Super Bowl, but they were getting bye weeks and number one seeds and making it to a lot of conference championship games, making it to a lot of Super Bowls, winning a lot of Super Bowls. And eventually you got used to it. But I think these 5 years, or really it's now 8 years, I guess, since 2018, but 5 years since they were last in the playoffs, has really sort of reset the expectations. You bottomed out. You hit rock bottom. You looked into the abyss, and the abyss was looking back at you. It was like one of those type of deals. And I think that was enough of a reset to get people to snap out of the whole Belichick Patriot way dynasty memories. I mean, it feels like a long time ago now, doesn't it? And another thing that really helped for that was that Mike Vrabel set about to really establish himself and also kind of push those memories to the background. We're going to create our own memories here. We're going to do it a different way. We're going to do it a way that is different from how Belichick did it, certainly different from how Gerard Mayo did it. It's a very unique way of coaching, I think. I don't think there's a lot of coaches in the league like Vrabel. There's a few.
Mike Vrabel!
Who are, you know, on the level of Mike Vrabel when it comes to connections with the players and motivating and sort of all that stuff. I think there's guys like that around the league, but they're not the majority, I wouldn't say. Maybe that's changing. Maybe that's starting to change now. And Vrabel's certainly one of the faces of that this year. But that's another reason why. So, yeah, you may not want us talking about the Super Bowl anymore. And, Texter, I promise you, we're probably going to stop talking about the Super Bowl pretty soon. But there is a big offseason to be had here. And there's some people, including Mike Giardi, who I think today said that it's more likely that the Patriots miss the playoffs altogether next year than make it back to the Super Bowl, which is not a sentiment I totally disagree with. I don't totally disagree with it. It's obviously very early to say anything like that, but he was put on the spot by Andy, and that's what he went with. I'd probably want to see at least a little bit of what happens in the offseason, like who they sign, who they draft, all that, maybe, before I make one declaration or another. But based solely on the opponents that they're going to play, based solely on the schedule, it's not that crazy of a take. It just isn't. All right, it's 8:30. Let's get to our New England Nightly News.
New England Nightly News.
Okay, for the Nightly News tonight, we are going to head up to the Granite State of New Hampshire. A state that I love with all my heart. I love New Hampshire. I have strong roots in New Hampshire. My family go up there all the time. Used to work there up in Nashua. And this story takes place in Nashua, as a matter of fact, where a state representative is being reprimanded for directing an obscene gesture to Governor Kelly Ayotte.
A state rep is being reprimanded for flipping off the governor during the State of the State address. Representative Paige Boschman is a Democrat from Nashua, issued an apology on the House floor today during session. She made the crude gesture toward the governor during her big speech last Thursday. She says this was after she was overwhelmed by frustration.
As a human being, I make mistakes.
Hold on, like stop it before we get to the apology. Because I can already tell I'm going to love this apology. this lady, Paige Boschman, a Democrat from Nashua, apologized on the House floor on Thursday. I missed the State of the State address up in New Hampshire. I don't know what Ayotte had to say. I know there's a whole thing going on with like an ICE facility in Merrimack or something that Maura Healey's trying to pressure around. I don't know all the details of it, but I know that's like a big story right now. So I don't know exactly what she was talking about. I don't know what the State of the State up there in New Hampshire was all about. But I do know Kelly Ayotte, very conservative, and that New Hampshire is always kind of split when it comes to that. There's a lot of conservatives, a lot of liberals, and they all have some standing in the New Hampshire politics. They just do. You know, between Kelly Ayotte and Gene Shaheen and sort of all these other, you know, Sununu and everybody else. There's a lot of Democrats, there's a lot of Republicans up there. That's why it's such a big battleground state. That's why everyone goes there and they have that first primary. Because everyone wants to win New Hampshire. and this, I think, is pretty funny. Now, let's hear the apology from Paige Boschman, who was caught flipping off the governor in the middle of her speech.
As a human being, I make mistakes. Like
stop it right there. As a human being, I make mistakes just like everybody else. That's a good way to start. Appeal to everybody from the base human instinct. Who among us is humans? Haven't wanted to flip off the governor, right? I mean, who among us? Go ahead.
As a human being, I make mistakes like everybody else.
Right.
And unfortunately, last week I failed in living my values.
Boschman is running for Congress this year, mounting a primary challenge to Representative Maggie Goodlander in the 2nd District.
Okay. You know, for a very brief time, people don't know this. For a brief time, I think it was less than a year, I produced a political talk show in New Hampshire. I did. It was this fella, if he was listening, then hey, Riz. His name was Rich Gerard. He's still in politics up there in New Hampshire. And he had a show on the radio called Gerard at Large, and I was the producer of that show and the sports anchor of that show for not a long time. It was brief, and then I broke off. I had my own show, and then, you know, the rest is history. But that was one of my first real radio jobs. Was producing a New Hampshire political talk show. And when I tell you that the local politics up there in New Hampshire are wild, they are. I learned that firsthand. I mean, they get the big hitters that when it's an election year, they get all the big hitters coming through there. They come through the convention center. There's a whole radio row down there. I mean, it was a whole big deal. And that was for the national stuff. For the local stuff, oh boy. I mean, it is cutthroat up there. It's really live free or die. Like, it's like the old timey. It's like what the founding fathers went through, I feel like. It's still very much like part of the way they do things up there in New Hampshire with the politics. And this is a good example of that. You got this lady. And by the way, this lady, if you've seen her, has hilariously, like, cartoonishly oversized glasses that she wears. So I'm just picturing her with her big glasses just flipping off the governor in the middle of the speech. And it's a funny visual. What did she say? I did not live my, what? I did not
As
live.
As a human being, I make mistakes like everybody else.
Right.
And unfortunately, last week I failed in living my values.
In living my values. I'd say you lived your values just fine. You don't like Kelly Ayotte. And so you flipped her off. Now, maybe that was going a little far. Maybe not setting a great example. We're in a day and age now, though, where, and I don't know if Ayotte's popular in New Hampshire. I actually have no idea. I don't know if she's like a popular governor or not. She might be. I don't know. You can chime in with that at 617-779-7937 if you want to. But we're at a time politically, I think, in America where a move like that can make you a star. Flipping off an unpopular governor or mayor or whatever. I mean, like that, if they're unpopular enough. And I don't know what Ayotte is. What's Ayotte's deal? Do they like Ayotte up there? What's her, like, approval rating?
According to, from August 2025, she had a 49% approval rating.
Yeah, sounds about right for New Hampshire, honestly.
38% disapproving.
38 disapprove, 49 approve, 11 or 12 undecided, I guess, something like that. Now, I guess when you put it that way, it's not that bad. More approved than disapproved. That doesn't seem like great numbers. I think like Healy's like 60% or something like that. Healy's one of the most popular governors in the country, which, you know, do with that information what you will. But I think we're in a time now where all you really have to do is rip on someone that's unpopular and that makes you popular. I mean, that's really all it takes. It's like never been more apparent that that's all you really got to do. You just got to find the right people to pick on. We'll see. We'll see if that matters or not. We'll see what that matters for the future of New Hampshire politics. That lady's running for Congress, you said? That could really help, right? You may think I'm crazy. That could definitely help her. New England, by the way, win lots of medals. 5 of the 14 medals that Team USA had won as of earlier today. I don't know if that number's changed. Do they have more than 14 medals now, Joe? What's the count?
It is still at 14.
Still at 14. 5 of them have been won by New England athletes. Cross-country skier Jesse Diggins, the pride of Wakefield. Diggins said before the games that this would be her last Olympics. She's leaving it all on the course. Bruised rib, collapsed after she crossed the finish line on Thursday. Said it was so painful that she would have rather passed out. Got a bronze medal. There are 11 players on USA Hockey. Men's hockey, 11 players and coaches with connections to New England. Brady Tkachuk, who scored, I think, the first goal of that game.
Scored 2 of them.
Yeah, he had 2 goals. That's right. Today, a guy from Norwood is back on the ice. Max Nomhoff, who is playing... where is he going to be? Yeah, whatever. Team USA Women's Hockey is in action tonight. Quarterfinal matchup with Team Italy. Anyway, New England representing pretty well. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. There's your New England Nightly News. Let's go to the phones. Darren is in Belmont. Go ahead, Darren.
Hi. Can I ask a question about politics? When you did this, was it very difficult to keep a neutral position when you did the show? Nowadays, I think it's so much hatred in politics that if you have one side and another, if you voice your opinion, you just get hammered.
Oh, you definitely do. Are you asking me about that when I was the producer on that political show?
Yeah, that's what I was asking. I just love to get a perspective because, you know, I'm a conservative, I'm a Republican.
Sure.
And God, if I talk about politics to anybody, it's like I'm committing a crime, especially in Massachusetts.
Well, let me tell you this.
How do you handle it?
Well, Darren, I'll say this. The show I was producing, the host was conservative, and the other guys in the show were conservative. I was producing it, and I did the sports anchor, so I didn't really get into the political topics, but I disagreed with them politically. I leaned the other way politically, so I just kind of stayed out of it. I just did my sports thing, and that was that. But you're right. I mean, I think with, like, news talk, though, with news talk, there's been like liberal attempts at doing news talk. There's Air America and like some stuff like that. Yeah. It never really catches on outside of NPR. Meanwhile, on the other side, there's all these conservative talk show pundits and stuff, and it's a real big network, and it's this real big sort of moneymaker. So I think that has something to do with it, too. Conservatives really dominate that space when it comes to radio news talk, I would say, like 100%. It's like, I mean, it's a blowout as far as that's concerned. Anyway, what do you got there?
That's shocking. And let me ask you a question. I know the Patriots got rated really poorly. Isn't Bob Kraft, because he reacted to that, isn't he building a new training facility for the team because he was so embarrassed by the whole thing?
Yes. Yes, he is. Thanks for the call. And that's glad you brought that up, because I was just ripping on all the owners and what big babies they are and how they don't want. And even with him, like, that's what you're supposed to do. Let me just put it that way there. And that's what you're supposed to do. When all of your employees take an anonymous survey and say that these are all unacceptable and we've played in other places and we think that this is, we grade this all very poorly. You should take that sort of thing into consideration and do something about it. You want your team and your facility and your franchise to be an attractive place to play, right? I mean, that's what any owner should want. If you're a free agent, you want to come to New England? Well, I don't know. Have you seen the facilities? Like, they don't have anything there. So, yes, Kraft, they are still building it. I don't know if it's done being built. I don't think so. I know last year they had just started. I think this year they're still working on it. But frankly, I've not been down there much this year, and I haven't been down the back where the facility is. It's over down by like by the media entrance and that other field where they run the hills and stuff, like the practice field. It's back there somewhere. And I remember when they were first, breaking ground to build it, but I don't know how far along they are or what if it's built or what. But yeah, he did do that, and that's good, and that's what you should do. But you shouldn't then also go bend over backwards to try and shut down the report card. That just makes you look soft. 617-779-7937. We'll get to some more phone calls here right after this. Coming up on 9 o'clock here, Christian Arcan Show, WEEI. We're live in our Brighton studios, powered by Verizon. Nice to have you with us here. We'll get to your phone calls in just a minute. Texter in the 203 says, Arcand, all regular mainstream news talk is left-wing. Your point that there are more conservative news talk is ridiculous. You're so wrong, Texter. You're so wrong. Estimates from the Center for American Progress indicate that roughly 91% of political and talk radio programming is conservative. 91%. It's a blowout. It is a blowout. I'm not trying to make a political statement here with this. I'm just telling you the numbers. I knew that without even looking it up. I looked it up during the break when I saw that text just because I couldn't imagine that what you're saying is true. I know what I'm saying is right. I'm sorry about that noise in the background, by the way. I have the chair with the arms that keep falling down, and that's what that noise is. If you're wondering why every couple of minutes you hear this, it's because I have that chair. And they just don't switch out the chairs in here. Let's go to the phone, 617-779-7937. Casper's in Worcester. Go ahead, Casper.
Hi, Christian. Christian, I want to talk about the NFL players' reports, but those numbers are right, what you just said about New Hampshire. The NFL has invited something they'll regret. There will be sportsters, retired players who don't need the media, just want to go back to their hometown. All that information will come out in some way, shape, or form. So sometimes you have to be careful in what you ask for. The NFL doing that and trying to block players' reports is really hysterical. The information will come out. With that said, I'll let you go and... that's about it.
All right. Thank you, Casper. I think this is a bad move by them as well. And I think what's likely to happen here, I don't know how exactly they're going to facilitate it, but the players' union has a lot of connections in media, right? I mean, they have a lot of connections to local media, to national media. They know people, right? So what's to stop them from, or maybe not them so much, but what's to stop, say, I don't know, a news outlet, a newspaper, TV station, radio station. What's to stop anyone from conducting their own anonymous survey just like they would any other way? Just like if you're working on a story with anonymous sources, you conduct an anonymous survey and publish the results. What's to stop that from happening now that we know for sure that there's not going to be this thing with the union anymore? Or they're going to do it, but we can't show it to anyone, which what the hell is the good of that then? The whole point of it is to be able to shame the owners into actually spending money to upgrade stuff. And by the way, it worked with the Patriots. It worked. I don't know what their grade would be for this year, but it worked last year. They had a terrible grade, and the old man wrote a check, and they got a new facility. I mean, isn't that the whole point? Isn't that why you do these things? They said, no, that's enough of that. Not doing that anymore. But I think that it worked pretty well. Shame works. Lord knows. I have learned that lesson many times over in my lifetime. Nothing like a good old-fashioned shaming. Motivate people to change their behavior. I'll tell you, it really does. It works wonders.
Shame. Shame. Shame.
Let's try Johnny in Brooklyn. Go ahead, Johnny.
No, Arcan, real quick on the Utah Jazz. You brought him up earlier.
Yes.
I hope Danny Ainge got hit by a chair for that because, you know, here's the thing. They have a center over there named Yusuf Nurkić, and I'm probably pronouncing that wrong.
Nurkić, yeah.
Nurkić. Guy's having a great year, and there's a lot of fantasy implications over, like, you know, Triple J gets hurt, he goes out. This guy is all set to have a huge night. He had 3 triple-doubles like 2 weeks ago. I'm not kidding. He's having a great year. And all of a sudden, he's a coach's non-decision, whatever. You know, you know what I'm saying. He doesn't play because they don't want to play him. They don't want to have a chance of winning. I want to say something about the politics, though, if you'll allow it.
Okay,
I'm keeping it quick. Stephen A. Smith said he's running for president.
Yeah, so,
you know, he's putting it on the table. We can discuss his talks, maybe what he says. And then secondly, you know, you mentioned like there's not really a strong market for kind of left wing political talk. And I would just say there's actually some very successful shows online on YouTube. They're not really, you know, in the radio so much, but they exist and they're doing very well and make a lot of money. If, you know, God willing, Arcan, one day we get you maybe an hour, one day in 1 week, we go in, we really go, because God knows there's a horror show every single day that we could be talking about. So you let me know. I'm there for you when we do it. Thanks,
all right,
man.
Johnny. Thank you. Thank you for that. Nurkić and Jokic, were they drafted the same year? Were they coming to the league the same year? I think they were. And I also think, if I recall correctly, to tie this all together, that Danny Ainge was interested in them. Danny Ainge was interested in, like, both of them. And I remember this because there was this tremendous clip of Adam Jones discussing the possibility of going after those two guys. And he didn't. It was before anyone knew who Jokic was, or people. A lot of people still don't know who Nurkić is, but like Jokic was not a household name at all by then. It took him a couple years before that really happened.
It was the same draft.
They
Nurkić
were
and Jokic
came in the same year. And I guess Danny Ainge, credit to him, well, 50% credit to him, was really hot after both of those guys. And I remember Jones being like, Jokic and Nurkić? Like, he's like, who are these people? Why is Danny Ainge obsessed with Hans and Franz? That was a big joke. It was great. Oh, it was so funny. And that's the main thing. Whenever I think of Nurkić, I always think of Jones and that little monologue that he had. How funny it was. So, yeah, that's, I guess. I mean, yeah, there's betting implications, fantasy implications. But, you know, I hate to tell you, like, if your whole season comes down to Nurkić on your fantasy team, it's just, you know, you're playing. You're playing with fire there anyway.
Hey, it's Jones.
Hey, Jones. Let's go to Leonard in Lebanon, New Hampshire. Hey, Leonard.
Hey, what's going on, man?
How you doing?
So, just wanted to do a quick Kelly Ayotte thing and then ask about Elliot Wolf. Kelly Ayotte spoke at my high school commencement speech back in 2006.
Oh.
And
what high school?
I don't remember where. I was Conval at Peterborough.
Conval, sure. Yeah, okay.
Yep. So I don't remember a word she said, but what I do remember is the whole time she talked, she sounded like she's crying.
Oh.
And I'm crying. It's like 100 degrees out. I'm crying. And I'm like, can this woman get it over with? It's like an hour speech.
Mm-hmm.
And she sounded like she's crying the whole time.
Interesting. Sound like that? Does she still do that or no?
Not as much. Not as much. I don't know. I mean, time changed, yeah, I suppose. So.
Yeah.
But, So
good story, Leonard. What else you got?
Oh yeah. So anyway, sorry, I know. Full story, okay. Right? Elliot Wolf. Do you think he sticks around after the draft, or do you think he's gone?
I think he sticks around. I think so. I think that you. I know that Vrabel has his own guy. What's his guy's name? His assistant.
Cowden.
Cowden. Thank you. Yes, I know he's got his guy Cowden. But I think that Elliot Wolf, being a part of the team and sort of being in charge and overseeing that as the general manager for that draft and that offseason with those free agent signings? No matter what his percentage of credit he deserves, like no matter what number that is, you can't break up this group after that offseason. The Patriots offseason this last year was a grand slam. It really was. Their draft was awesome. I know that it may not look quite as sterling now after the Super Bowl, but I still think that was a phenomenal draft this year. I really do. Henderson, Campbell. I mean, these guys were all contributors, big-time contributors. Campbell started all year. Did he have struggles as any rookie would? Yes. But he was your starting left tackle on a team that won 17 games and made it to the Super Bowl. And, yeah, maybe some of that was in spite of his play towards the end. But you could also maybe say a little bit of that about Drake May, too. And Drake May carried you through most of the regular season. Travion Henderson at certain points this season was, you know, top offensive rookie in the whole league. And then that those days ended. But, you know, for a while, that's what he looked like. He was the betting favorite for that for about, I don't know, 3 weeks, a month. You had Woodson, who I forgot to mention him. Deuce, credit to Deuce. Because I was talking about how Christian Gonzalez was the only guy that really was playing with any swagger. Woodson was, too. Woodson had a couple of real nice plays in that Super Bowl. And not a lot of other people can say that. So there you go. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. Quick break. When we come back, we're going to reset on my reaction to the NFL films mic'd up on the Super Bowl with the Patriots and the Seahawks, the major contrast that you saw between the two teams. We'll get to more of your phone calls at 617-779-7937. And a Patriots coach is coming back to stay on the Patriots staff after potentially getting a look at a promotion on another team. We'll get to all of that with your calls as we move into the 9 o'clock hour next.